RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. Hey. It's Friday. One more time. We welcome you in here to the Friday, September 12th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barlin.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
Please, Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Alongside executive producer.
What are you doing with him?
In a fiery mood today,
well,
too.
I mean, we did ask.
Don't Zach do that. Was. Well, wait a second. We didn't.
No, we did this as a team.
No, we did not.
Yeah, you guys were like, hey.
You antagonized our
let's all ask Jesse. Jesse, who his favorite team's backup quarterback is, and piss him off.
The funny thing is I really forgot. I was like, where is Zach Wilson? I forgot.
You going to ask me where Quinn Ewers is next?
Kyle Mattson of the Insiders, kind enough to hang around with us for his weekly Friday visits. As we continue to talk 49ers football, of course, they take on the New Orleans Saints. And once upon a time, this schedule looked like something that the San Francisco 49ers would be able to manage with no problem. And now there's certainly a lot more concern with Brock Purdy out. Perhaps for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. We're not really sure yet. We know that George Kittle is out. By the way, has that been made official? I assume Kyle Shanahan's going to talk any second.
Here. Kittle being out?
No. Kittle, I know, is IR. I mean, Purdy. I know there was the Ian Rappaport report, but has that been followed up on?
Yeah, Shanahan was on a radio station in the Bay Area yesterday. That Purdy is out.
I thought that was but today. My apologies.
But he left the door not open but unlocked for him to return next week. He said there's still a chance for next week.
Kyle's an interesting guy. Kyle's like, yeah, no, it's a long shot to play. But who knows? Could be out a couple weeks. Like, wait a minute. How could you be a long shot to play Sunday and potentially out a few weeks? It feels like if you're potentially out a few weeks, you know he's not going to play Sunday.
Yeah, but okay. Because there's no reason in the event that he magically is cured overnight, you don't want to have been like, oh, he's out. He's definitely out.
Yeah.
And then, he's good. He's good to play? Like, you can't. So you got to leave the door open as long as you can.
The nature of that injury to the turf toe, it just becomes a situation where you're good. It becomes a situation where some people heal faster than others from that. You know, and typically, the doctor might be like, oh, it's a 3-4 week injury. Mm-hmm. And Brock Purdy, after 10 days, is like, I feel good, especially like when I put my shoe on, like I can move, like everything's good. So you leave the door open for that. I had turf toe one time. It wasn't that bad for me.
Were you still able to get open against a zone defense?
After 10 days.
Yeah, makes sense.
I thought I broke my toe last week. I'm beginning to suspect that that's not what happened.
That's good news.
And if it did, it healed miraculously fast.
That's why Kyle Shanahan doesn't say.
That's right. See, I would have been, out on Monday. I would have been out. It's like, hey, my entire toe is fat and it's purple. I'm out. And then 2 days later, it was like, hey, it's not so bad anymore.
Come to practice on Thursday, like, Kyle, I think I could play. Bro, we designed the whole game plan that you weren't going to be. No, I'm good.
No, I'm all set.
I was certain my toe was broken.
Kyle, why didn't you just rule out Brock on Wednesday when you spoke with reporters? Well, have you ever heard of Damian Barling?
Right.
He thought he broke his toe last week.
I don't think he did. He came back. And if he did, guess what? That cold plunge hit hard.
Can you run right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean... It hurt the most when it was in sliders. That's when it really hurt. When I was like walking around, I was like, oh my God, this is bad. A shoe wasn't awful, and I could still Peloton. Like, I'm still riding with AT. There's just moments where, like, if I was lifting, like, I got to be real careful about my foot. And then, like, a day or two later, it was like, oh, the color's better. Oh, yeah, this doesn't really hurt anymore. So I don't know what happened. I know it hurt like hell, but I don't know what happened.
Do you wear the LeBron toe shoes?
No, I just work out because I'm at home, so I just work out barefoot, which is funny because LeBron's at home too. So I don't know why I don't know what those things on his feet are, but
shoes. What did you, all the time for me?
I don't want to
just in life.
I don't want to derail this because it's super nippy. What did you call the shoes that hurt the most to wear?
Sliders, flip flops.
I caught that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's not like a. I call them slides.
Okay.
Sliders are what I wore underneath my baseball pants when I played baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you said hurt and slide, food. I was deeply concerned.
Yeah, sliders are the mini burgers.
Yeah. I was just making sure you meant.
Yeah, I was not wearing mini burgers on my feet at all.
Like, I'm glad we clarified that.
You certainly weren't wearing sliding shorts in case you
definitely was
had
not.
To slide on some dirt.
Definitely was not.
I got one of them strawberries one time.
That was the worst, dude.
Not good. Not good. My fat ass when I was playing baseball, I was not good.
They be having these kids out here on field turf getting them routinely nowadays. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it. I was like, Reese, you got to wear sleeves, like, or a compression underneath. Because his little arms all.
Also, it better not be hot if you're out there on that field turf.
That's real, man. That is real.
Yep.
That heat is real on the field turf.
I played a 4th of July tournament up in Redding 1 year. And it's all turf field except for the batter's box and the pitcher's mound. Everything else is turf. Mm-hmm. We had an 8 a.m. game where it was like 106. And that was not on the turf. That was just outside. Oh, it was awful.
Like 126 then on the turf.
We got one hit, and your boy had the one hit.
Hey, nice. Let's go.
Air horns let's for
go.
Me.
Let's go.
Air horns right. for me. You're line right. drive over short. Come on.
You ever played a Field of Dreams?
Oh, of course.
Those are so dope. Those are really so cool.
It's even, I played in Arizona, I played slow pitch at those stadiums. And back then, way back when, I could hit the ball over the fence. And hitting the ball out at a park that looks like a major league stadium is way cooler than hitting one out over a chain link fence. Yeah. Way cooler. It makes a big bang when it hits the wood stands out there. Oh, so dope.
It went in Wrigley Field.
Hell yeah.
On the Waveland Avenue.
Hell yeah.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. How many ballparks have you been to now? I know you and your dad did a little tour.
Yeah, we did.
This year.
Wrigley and Fenway.
You did Wrigley and Fenway.
Yeah, we wanted to knock those out because if something happens where this wouldn't happen, I think, anytime soon, but we just wanted to get out in front of if the Ricketts family goes, hey, we're going to move the Cubs out of Wrigley Field. We're going to go to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It would be impossible to get into Wrigley. Mm-hmm. So we were like, hey, we're just going to do it now. So we did that in one trip. Mm-hmm. I would have to count. I think I'm up to 12.
What's your favorite ballparks? of those two? Wrigley and Fenway?
Fenway.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved them both.
Yeah.
But Fenway, I sat in the bleachers for Red Sox Yankees. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox won in a walk-off. Aaron Judge hit a monster home run in the 9th to tie it.
Brett Boone got thrown out too.
Brett Boone got tossed. There was a bunch of trash talking in the stands. It was just like a perfect baseball experience.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I texted Jesse during the game. I was like, this made me, because so much of my baseball life for the past half decade or so has been the A's are going to leave. Mm-hmm. And so every A's game was this, like, sad. There was a tinge of, man, I don't know how many more of these I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. So baseball had just been hard for a while, but being at that Red Sox Yankees game, I texted Jesse. I was like, this made me love the sport again because it was just peak, man. Like being in the ballpark that Ted Williams played in, I'm getting Red Sox Yankees. I'm sitting in the center field bleachers. I'm getting all this trash talk around me, but like friendly, but like some good trash talk. And it was just, man, what an experience.
Yeah.
Wrigley was incredible, but Wrigley itself was unbelievable. And salute to Manny. For the hookup on
that was an all time moment.
On way better seats. Yeah, man.
That was an all time moment.
I'm like, man, I get these tickets right behind home plate for $40.
Son of the year right there.
Come on. Bang, let's go. Sit down.
Oh man.
Watching the game like this.
Yeah, man.
But I got to sit in some cool seats. Thanks, man.
I don't think I've been anywhere outside. Oh, no, I have gone to Yankee Stadium. But outside of that, I haven't been anywhere outside of California. Yeah.
I've been New Yankee, Philly, Boston, Wrigley, Texas, the old Texas, ballpark at Arlington.
That was hot.
Chase Field, all three SoCals, A's, Giants. I think that's it.
What's the best?
St. Louis is really nice.
St. Louis looks
St. Louis looks incredible.
Really, really, really nice. Really
cool. Yeah, the problem is because my dad and I have now been talking, okay, can we hit a couple of stadiums a year? Like, are there ways? And the Midwest ones, it's like, God, I don't know how long I want to do a trip through the Midwest to watch. Like, Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like, man, we did the river tour there. We went to this restaurant and that restaurant, this bar and that bar. Man, it was amazing. In Boston, same deal. We got to go to this bar and we got to go to this place and there's this sightseeing to do. I feel like if I go to St. Louis,
St. Louis is you don't need to be there long. St. Louis, the city, it's a dope little spot. There'd be great places for you to eat.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it'd be really, really good places. You don't need to be there super long.
Yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, that little downtown is good.
I saw a couple years ago, and me and my wife want to just do this type of stuff, is they said a good way to go see places that you probably would never go to is find something they're doing there. So for instance, like Cincinnati, I'll go see Usher in Cincinnati. I would never go to Cincinnati, but I want to see Usher or Chris or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go watch them there and see a city that we normally wouldn't go to. So
yeah, that's like, I really want to go to Denver. So I'm just going to loop that into a Coors Field trip.
Denver's gorgeous.
It looks amazing.
Denver is.
And I've got a bunch of friends who live there now.
Denver is gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It looks great. I've never been there, but it looks fantastic. I don't know if you want to go to
beautiful.
A Rockies game, though.
Dude, we do Rockies watch every day on our show. We're waiting until they give up 1,000 runs. I think they're up to 933 now with 15 games to go.
Oof.
And we're waiting to get to a -400 run differential. They're -388 right now.
God.
They are ass.
Oh, my God.
Do they have 40 wins yet?
Yeah, they're at 40 exactly.
Oh, I didn't think they would get to 40.
What's the record?
Oh, way less than that.
Oh, it's way less than 40?
Yeah. I think the record's like 28, but that was back in.
God.
The record since 1901.
Oh, of course.
The modern era.
The modern era, yes. Thank you. The modern era of baseball. Still, many years before black people were allowed to play, the modern era of baseball.
It's like another generation for them to let black people play.
Do you know what's crazy?
Yes.
This is so, well,
yes, I do.
Hey, you want to know what's nuts about racism?
We're calling them differences now. I don't know if you've been paid. It's just differences.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. What's crazy about differences of opinion?
Yes.
As it pertains to race. No, the Yankees scouting department went to the Yankees front office. This is in the 40s, and they're like, "Yo, this Willie Mays kid, this Ernie Banks kid, like they kept feeding the Yankees these all time great black players," and the Yankees were just like, "Nah, pass, no thanks, pass." Just Hall of Famers on top of Hall of Famers. Just insane.
The best players.
Just insane.
Time.
Just getting
literally.
Man. That's
shout out to shout out to our guy Jerry Lorenzo, man. Did you see that Essentials MLB collection?
Mm-hmm. Oof.
That's fire. I'm mad he don't have no Giants.
And
stuff,
shout out to his dad. He's part of the class that's going into the Hall of Fame that we're going to talk to Cam Rudolph
that's
about
what's
here
up.
Coming
oh,
up
yeah.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
up.
Soon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm mad he ain't got no Giants gear in that one. They got some A's gear.
They do have A's gear, yeah.
It doesn't say the city on
he did, it. Yeah, no, he did try to dedicate it to Sacramento.
You know which one is Myers? The Tigers one. I like the Tigers stuff they have. So.
Yeah. Detroit versus everybody.
Well, God forbid he had a little color.
So cold in the D.
For the collection.
But that's the song. It's a song.
All right.
It's fine. You, right. Sometimes you just
making
gotta
sure.
Let it, gotta let it go.
I just, hey, keep it. Just want you to keep an eye on it. He's hacking. Get in my arm.
I want you to keep an eye on
it. Just, he's getting the forearm.
The official's not even on the field, by the way.
This is a quick peek.
Hey, I'm Draymond. I'm Draymond
look,
just shouting
look,
in the
look,
corner.
The official ain't even here. There is no official. Earl Hebner has been knocked out. There is no one to count the pinfall here.
He said, hey, I just want you to look at him, all right?
Hey, all right. Hey, just keep. Hey, he's got the hand out. Just.
I believe you, Mike.
Steak dinner.
This feels like it's turned into a big game for the San Francisco 49ers. I know it's dumb. It's the Saints, and it's week two.
Mm-hmm.
But circumstances matter. And the circumstances going into this game aren't the best. And we used the term earlier, you kind of just want to survive it.
Yeah.
If you lose over the course of the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, like that, that's fine. I just don't think you want to lose this one.
Yeah, I think there's a like an intangible, like you want to win and you want to play well. But to me, it's more like setting a tone for what the rest of this year is going to be.
Okay.
If you go in and you like mail it in against New Orleans, even if you win and it's 12-10 and you kick 4 field goals and you win, but it's like, man, they didn't play really well. The defense got a couple of goal line stops. The Saints moved the ball probably more than you'd like. How they got outgained. They just kind of got outplayed, but they figured out a way to win. Like, that's nice, and you want that for sure, but I don't think you'd feel good about the rest of the year. But if they come out and play really well, like they galvanized around this and didn't go, God, we're just injury bug again, season's over. Mm-hmm. I think that's more what I'm looking for. Like, does the defense come out, and I think they will, come out with their hair on fire. Mm-hmm. And, man, the Saints at halftime haven't crossed midfield yet.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of thing I'm looking to happen where even if they don't win by a ton or they don't play great, hey, there were signs there that they know what time it is still. Mm. And that's
they're going to have to, it feels like, they're potentially going to have to change their identity for a month or so. They're going to have to turn into, you know, this rugged, rough and tough, run the ball, ball control, time of possession team that leans on their defense
mm-hmm.
for about a month or so. And that's cool. It's a little concerning because mm-hmm. it's better, as much as I think the defense is going to be better mm-hmm. with Saleh and some of the personnel they have. Kyle Shanahan did tell us earlier, like, hey, we got some young guys on this defense and they're going to have to learn the NFL game and we plan to get better as the season goes along. Well, we're just in the week two. They're not Upton Stout, Mykal Williams, CJ West, these guys, they're still learning. And to rely on them right now,
that's tough.
Gets a little scary.
Yep. So what they're going to have to do, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of the position they're in.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, I read this over at NinersWire.com.
Howdy, babe.
There we go. Shout out Niners Wire.
Ryan Fitzpatrick said that Brock Purdy was underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think Fitzpatrick went a little bit overboard in saying that Purdy's becoming one of those guys that you don't want to give the ball to with 2 minutes left. Like, I don't know if he's in that where you're just like, hey, we cannot under any circumstance let Brock Purdy have the ball. Because that was the case, the Seahawks would have gone for it on 4th-and-1. Like that, they went, shoot, we'll kick the field goal. They haven't moved the ball all day.
They learned their lesson. Don't test my boy 13. Yeah. Don't test them.
And put a body on Jake Tungus. Two bodies on. No. No. So I think that was a little, but I do think they're, despite the fact we're in year 2, 3, 4 of this, three and a half of this, that there's still this like waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, no, man, I think he's a pretty good player. He may never be a tier one guy, but man, that comeback in the NFC Championship game against the Lions, that's a huge stage, and he was really good. Mm. And then in the Super Bowl, in his first full season as a starter, he played well enough to win. Mm. Like, I don't, if the bar for any quarterback who's not Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, if that's the bar for them, then almost nobody's going to clear it.
Right.
So I just, it's that you're either the GOAT or you're trash mm-hmm. is the scale.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of people who just view it like that. And because he's not scoring 30 points a game with Kendrick Bourne and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, then he's a product of his environment.
And this is the argument I always make as well, is we talk about Kyle Shanahan, offensive guru, and all this other stuff. You know this, Kyle. Everybody knows that watches the 49ers for this entire Shanahan tenure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't run the ball.
Yep.
Like all these other quarterbacks you talk about, they're going to throw the ball 30, 35 times on a regular day. Kyle Shanahan said something went terribly wrong if I got to have you throw the ball that way, mm-hmm. that many times.
Yep.
I want you around 22.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're going to run the other 25 to 30 times in the game. I remember, I think it was the year he was in MVP consideration. All his yards or whatever, everything he had going on, I think he had the least amount of passes, or the 49ers had the least amount of passes in the league.
Yeah, they're pretty
like that.
Frequently bottom five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even if he is that good, he's never going to be put in that situation, ideally, from Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be run first, establish the run to set up the pass and all this other stuff. And he's just a good – and he's, as we famously pointed out on this show, he's still pretty damn young.
Right.
Like, he's a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's 25 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 5 years from now, he'll only be 30. Quick math.
Yeah.
Like
very good.
Yeah. Okay. Like he's still a young guy, and he's seen a lot in his time,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to still get better, I believe, too.
Yeah, the thing that's crazy to me, and this is not, I hate doing this because I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, because he's not. No, I don't think anyone is. Like, Patrick Mahomes is in a class that is, he's going to be one of the three or five best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
He's on Mars with that bacteria.
Yeah, man. Him and that old bacteria guy are just chilling up there.
another
wild.
Planet.
That's wild. But anyways, when Patrick Mahomes, over the last couple of years, when his air yards per attempt has gone way down and all of his numbers have come down, he doesn't get put in a box with Brock Purdy where it's like, oh, it's just Andy Reid and the offense is... It's no, wow, look, he's adapting to his surroundings. He's figuring out he's doing this. Brock just doesn't get that benefit of the doubt.
Why do you think that is?
Because he hasn't won three Super Bowls by age 28. Like, yeah.
The narrative around Patrick Mahomes grew pretty quick, though. Like, no one batted an eye when Andy Reid let Alex Smith go.
Mm.
Like, it was discussed. Like, this is what's happening.
Well, yeah, because it was a top 10 pick, and Alex Smith wasn't going to win him a Super Bowl, which I think is kind of why. And then he threw for, what was it, 5,000 yards?
I was going to say, he literally switched teams after the best year of his career.
Mm-hmm. But I think at that point of his career, I think I personally looked at the Chiefs and went, man, they're not getting over the hump with Alex. Mm. Would they blow a 24-point lead against the Colts in that playoff game?
That was tough.
Like, it just, all right, they're just not going to do it. They spent a top 10 or 12 pick or whatever Patrick Mahomes was. Like, he's going to be the guy. And then he was the guy immediately.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Brock doesn't get that benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Because even when, in the last couple of years, when Patrick's numbers have gone down,
mm-hmm.
we have seen him go crazy in mm-hmm. the first 2-3 years. Like you said, 5,000 mm-hmm. yards, 50 touchdowns, yeah. like... Even if that was like an admiration, or that was just mm-hmm. like a moment in time, and he'll never do that mm-hmm. again, that's in our minds, and we're like, right. yeah, that's who he is. So mm-hmm. it's good.
There's also an obsession, real quick. There's also an obsession with, if he wasn't in this situation, if every team had the same offensive line, play caller, and weapons, he wouldn't be putting up this production. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the obsession with trying to do that, because that's not real. Like, that's not real life. putting this in a vacuum of like, okay, but if he was in a different situation, he would be worse. That's so like, all right, cool, man. Yeah, no, and that's it. Sure, he's the worst quarterback in the league. You're right. Because we're never going to find out.
But it's really funny how people pick and choose when they do that, too. Like, I remember, like, John Kitna led the league in passing 1 year.
Yeah.
With a terrible Detroit team. He was essentially Cam Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Scoring Damn. A ton of points Damn for a Kitna. Team that ultimately meant nothing to.
Yeah. Thomas minding his business.
Oh, he is. So, you're right. Hey. That was uncalled for.
Did you see the Jonathan Kuminga news?
No.
The Warriors pulled their 2-year offer, so it's only the qualifying offer on the table now?
Oh, I didn't see that, but that's nuts. Okay.
They pulled the offer.
You know what else?
Hit that thing.
You're right. No, you're right.
Hold on.
Mingo watch.
By the way,
that's interesting. I didn't see that coming.
Really?
Yeah. So now the Warriors are saying, like,
to hell with it. Play on the qualifying offer.
No, that's.
No, they could obviously change it.
They knew he wasn't going to take it, so you save face. It's like the people who, oh, yeah, so and so has removed themselves from consideration for the Olympic team. Bro, you weren't going to make the Olympic team. Like, what are you talking about?
It's just been sitting on the table collecting dust. He's like, I'm not doing that. And now they're like, okay, we're taking it off the table. Like,
okay.
All right.
You can have it. Great stuff, Kyle. As always, we appreciate you, my man. Have a great weekend. We will see you back here on Monday, and we'll come back. Ken Rudolph's going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk about that game last night and whether it got Kenny's attention at all as it pertains to the Green Bay Packers. Mm. We're just getting started. It's CeeLo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.